Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It's Friday, June 10th. This is the first time in this incarnation of the podcast that we're going to do a mailbag episode. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions on the site. We put up a post asking for questions earlier in the week, also asked on Twitter, and a few people also emailed. Did not get to every single question, but picked out some that I thought were interesting. So let's get right to it. Our first question comes from Tommy Blackjack, noted Dr. Pepper and pickle enthusiast. With Tyler Anderson pitching as well as he has, do you think the Dodgers go with the six-man rotation for a time? Well, okay, so Tommy, I do think they will, but only for like a probably a temporary basis. Sort of, we're in that spot in the season where, you know, the Dodgers just had a little bit of a gauntlet. They have another sort of mini gauntlet coming up, 20 games in 20 days. The All-Star game is coming up. So I think to get to that, I think they're going to use a six-man rotation, but there's a few variables to consider here. First, Clayton Kershaw is coming back. He's supposed to start Sunday in San Francisco. He had a rehab assignment on Sunday, or last Sunday, at Rancho Cucamonga. He's going to be activated off the injured list to start Sunday. Presumably, he's taking Mitch White's spot in the rotation. And then, starting Monday, the Dodgers have three off days in an eight-day span. So, they don't need a... I mean, they have five starters anyway in this span, but they definitely don't need a sixth then. You know, the real question is going to be when Andrew Haney comes back. He is making his second rehab, a start for Oklahoma City on Thursday night. Has a third rehab start set for next week. That likely puts him in line to rejoin the Dodgers right around the start of that stretch of 20 games in 20 days, which starts June 21st. So another key here is currently the limit on active rosters is that no team can carry more than 14 pitchers. That's going to go down to 13. It was going to go down to 13 a few weeks back, but Players Union and the league extended it. So they could very well extend it again if they're so inclined. But if the active pitcher limits go down to 13 pitchers, you know, carrying six only leaves you with seven relievers. And look, we've seen how the Dodgers use relievers very liberally. So it would be very difficult for them in that regard. Last Saturday, there's benefits to it too. So last Saturday, Dave Roberts, he was asked about a six-man rotation. This was at Dodger Stadium. I'm including the video in the post as well. This is from Sportsnet LA, and Dave Roberts' answer to whether the Dodgers might use a six-man rotation.
It's certainly possible. But to go with seven relievers in the pen makes it a little bit more challenging. But you could argue in that stretch of 19 in a row to get guys an extra day is certainly beneficial. I think that just kind of us entertaining that option is a good thing. And I think once we get to that date, then we'll have more clarity.
So, yeah, it looks like one of those things where maybe for that stretch of 20 games in 20 days, maybe they use six pitchers like, you know, two to three times through. And then you're basically a week out of the All-Star game at that point. So then you have time to sort of reset. But we'll see. I do think that they'll probably use six at least once or twice just to sort of keep everyone rested and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see it. But I do think that's something that very well could happen pretty soon here. Have another question from Ryan on Twitter. Realistically, what's happening with Walker Buehler? I'm looking at his underlying numbers and expecting a bounce back. So, yeah, Walker Buehler, opening day starter this year. He's been the Dodger ace for a couple years, been, you know, game one starter in the postseason, just big game pitcher, put it all together, it seemed like last year. His most consistent year in terms of just day in, day out. This year has not been that for him. It's been a struggle. Most of Buehler's problems have basically been with his fastball. It was one of the best fastballs in the sport the last, like, 3 years. This year, it's actually one of the worst. If you go by a few different metrics, there's, like, I believe Fangraphs and Baseball Savant both assign, like, a run value to certain pitches, and he was among the leaders in the four-seam fastball the last few years. This year, he's, you know, near the bottom. So it's been a shocking sort of turn of events. So over his last five starts, Buehler has a devilish 6.66 ERA. His FIP is 5.16. Opponents are slugging 5.34 against him in that time. So I will link to a couple things here, but the one I want to point out in the podcast is on Baseball Prospectus. Michael Aheto went into great detail on how Buehler's fastball has fallen off. Now, the timing of it, the main sort of thrust or the main change, I guess, is a pretty dramatic decrease in spin rate, which coincides with the timing of Major League Baseball cracking down last year on foreign substances and, you know, deciding what to enforce. So, you know, you can draw conclusions from that if you will, but there's more to it than that. It's not as simple as, like, hey, you know, Buehler can't use sticky substances anymore, so he's not, doesn't have a good fastball. There's some mechanical stuff too. He sort of Michael compares Buehler to Tim Lincecum in his delivery, and he shows from, like, a few years back to this year how his various points in the delivery has affected his pitch and how it's sort of regressed in multiple ways. Now, what has shown up too is this year, with the fastball being as diminished as it is, Buehler's only thrown in about a third of the time. In 2019-2020, Buehler threw the fastball over 53% of the time, so he really counted on it as one of the, you know, as one of the best pitches in baseball. Really, this year it's not that. Now, the saving grace is Buehler's struggling. He's not necessarily bad, although his, you know, the last five starts have been bad. But, like, just overall, he hasn't completely lost it. You know, that sort of thing. He does have six pitches, like, you know, I would say four he throws with a lot of regularity. The other two are occasional, but still effective. But, I mean, it's really his fastball that drives everything. So he has to get that right to sort of get close to the form that the Dodgers sort of expect from him. But we'll see. I think if he gets some improvement again on the fastball, whether it's spin rate, whether it's some of the mechanical things, or just figuring out, like, command, location, anything, that should help his other pitches, and I think the results would follow. But yeah, that's sort of it's basically fastball related, I think, with Buehler. Next question is from Sissy Tran via email. I'm listening to your podcast, and I am both happy on a daily True Blue LA, yay, she says, and despondent. Corey Seager keeps coming up. So my question is, limited to Seager's time on the 40-man, name a standard stat or two where Seager was not on the list. Now, Sissy here is referring to the questions from Craig segment, which is a regular feature on our weekly podcast, The Lineup with True Blue LA. That's the new name we decided on it. But yeah, that's a regular segment, and a lot of times there's a lot of trivia in there that Craig mixes in, and it's, you know, a lot of more recent trivia questions end up having Seager a lot, because he was one of the Dodgers' best players the last, you know, 6 years. So I looked at this just to see, you know, if there was something I could find to sort of satisfy Sissy's question here. And, you know, he was Rookie of the Year, NLCS MVP, World Series MVP, one of the best postseason runs in, like, Major League history in 2020, and it snapped a Dodgers 32-year championship streak, so he's always going to be remembered. But, like, just looking at the Dodgers from 2016 to 2021, he's in the top 10 of, like, just about every offensive category, and he's really, like, top two or three in most of them. And his 13 postseason home runs are tied with Justin Turner for the most in franchise history. However, I did find one category where Seager did not shoot up to the top of the list. He only stole 10 bases in those last 6 years. That's tied for 12th on the Dodgers. Max Muncy also has 10 steals during that time, although he wasn't he wasn't a Dodger for all six of those years. But another person Corey Seager's tied with is Howie Kendrick, whose 10 steals over those last 6 years all came in 2016. So yeah, stolen bases, not Corey Seager's forte, but he did quite a lot of other stuff to make up for it. Yeah. Next question is from Scotty Liu on Twitter. What's the status of Dellin Betances? I have not heard any updates on him. So yeah, Betances signed a minor league contract with the Dodgers in April, just before opening day. He's 34. He was one of the most dominant relief pitchers in baseball with the Yankees. From about 2014 to 2018, he had like a 40% strikeout rate. His 2.22 ERA, 2.26 FIP. He was just outstanding, like 100 strikeouts a year out of the bullpen. Just one of the best relievers going at the time, but he really hasn't been healthy since. Like, he's only thrown 13 innings in the last three seasons combined. He had, a bunch of injuries the last few years. There was an Achilles injury in there. There was a lat injury, but it's mostly been shoulder stuff that's sort of kept him out. He had shoulder surgery last July, and that's what he's trying to make his way back from. So as of now, the rookie level league started this week in the minors. And so in the Dodgers Arizona Complex League, which is played at all the team's spring facilities, there's a similar one in Florida, for the teams that have facilities there. Betances played or pitched in a game on Tuesday for the Dodgers Arizona Complex League. He gave up two singles and a run. The reason those two singles produced a run is because both runners tried to steal second base. The first one was successful and scored on a single. The second one was unsuccessful. Now, it is worth pointing out that while Betances was dominant during those years, he also allowed 71 stolen bases at an 86% success rate. That was actually the most allowed by any reliever during those 5 years. He was 12th among all pitchers in stolen bases allowed, and surrounded by starters. So remarkable that someone who pitches that not nearly as much as like starters is still giving up stolen bases at that rate. Now, again, it's picking nits here because there's so few people that were on base. So it hurts him when people are on base, but he's got around it by simply not having people reach base. So it's one of those things. I think the Dodgers would take that if they could get him healthy and on a mound. But yeah, it's one of those. He's sort of thrown into the pile of guys they might expect something from in the second half if things work out. You know, they have a lot of those guys. You have Dellin Betances. You have Pedro Baez. You have Danny Duffy. I would say Dustin May, although I think they're going to probably have him as like a starter at least first consideration, and you know, eventually could make his way to the bullpen. But and then like Jimmy Nelson maybe later. Just a bunch of guys, and like Tommy Canley, I guess, now since he's on long term, and obviously Blake Treinen. So there's a lot of guys who, if things work out, they could provide something down the stretch. But it's like, you know, I think the Dodgers are going for the volume here, and then if a few of them stick, that's great. But they're sort of trying to cover all their bases there. But yeah, if Betances is anywhere close to what he was from 2014 to 2018, that would be an outstanding addition. But yeah, it's seems like a long shot, but we'll see. So yeah, keep your eye on those Arizona Complex League box scores. I would imagine, you know, if he's healthy enough soon enough, he'll probably make his way to like Oklahoma City and start pitching there. And I think once he's there, it's probably a matter of time until he's sort of ready to possibly return to the majors. So, but we'll sort of keep an eye on that, and we'll follow up, you know, later on. We have one more baseball question here from Mr. Mojo Doza on Twitter. Will Caleb Ferguson move into the starting rotation later this season or remain in the pen? I was thinking about this. So Ferguson was a starter from, you know, in the minors until about midway through the 2018 season. That's he made his major league debut later that year and sort of has been pretty much bullpen ever since. He's made some like spot starts and mostly bullpen game type things. But he's been a bullpen guy. I don't see them using him as a starter this year for a couple reasons. One, he just came back from Tommy John surgery. He missed all of last year. He rehabbed. He's back. I think it would be a lot to ask of him after that rehab to then also completely change things and try to stretch out to be a starter. And I think that process would take too long to the point where he wouldn't even be ready to do so until like later in the year. And even then it's such a crapshoot of what you're going to get. I think given the way they used him in 2020, they value him as like a high leverage setup guy if he's fully healthy and right. So I think that's what they're aiming for. Like they have, like Alex Vesia sort of grabbed the role of top lefty in the pen last year and this year, but like Ferguson could easily get to that level as a reliever, and I think someone with that sort of ceiling on a team that would definitely use that, I think they're just going to have him as a reliever this year. Now, I think maybe long term, you know, potentially Ferguson could go back to starting, but that's something that would take like an off season to sort of plan for, a healthy off season, you know, to fully work out and all that kind of stuff rather than rehabbing. So I'm not thinking about him starting at all anytime soon. But so I think this year, what you're going to get from Ferguson is relief. And that's about it. We have one more question that is not Dodgers related, but that's fine. It's food related, which is always good to end the podcast on. Hollywood Joe, commenter legend, asked this question. What is the greatest food commonly eaten without utensils? I stared at this question in the comments a couple days ago, and I hesitated. I was like, okay, this is going to, I couldn't think of something. I was like, this is going to be take too long to figure out, and how do I approach this? Then I thought about it for like a minute, and then it quickly became obvious which one to choose. And I say which one, although it's really, there's really two here. I'm going with a burrito. And the other option would be a basic street taco. You could go any like a hard shell taco if you want. It's fine. I think street taco is probably the best form of a taco. However, I picked the burrito only like because of the added mobility. With the street taco, obviously it's more open. And, you know, sometimes depending on how they're filled, it could be a little messy. Like it's good to have like a street taco with like a side of chips. So when you have like a handful of street tacos or something, and then whatever meat sort of spills out, whatever like, you know, little amount of like cheese or pico de gallo spill out, you just use the chips to sort of sop that all up. So yeah, it'll be that's sort of the ideal. But I think just the burrito sort of solves all that. You basically have the same ingredients. I'm not a big rice in burrito guy, although it's fine like if it's in there. But like, yeah, just straight meat, cheese, pico de gallo and salsa, something like that is great. That's what I would go with. You can have it in a car. You could eat it at, you know, however you want at home, and it's less messy than, say the street taco is, cause it's not open. Although I guess it could be messy potentially, but, yeah, it's delicious. And now I want one. So thank you, Joe. And, thank you for listening, everybody. This has been a fun week. Thank you for sending all the questions in. I hope you enjoyed this mailbag, and thank you for listening to Leading Off with True Blue LA. We'll talk to you later.